Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. I just wanted to, I guess, to continue on the same vein that Pop's been on with, having our strength in Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost, the superpower that we have, which is the Holy Ghost. But, yeah, that being said, I just want to talk about, I guess, the nature of Christianity, what Christianity is all about, this, that, and the other. We understand, I think, is it James or a book of John? We understand that unadulterated Christianity is take care of the widow and the orphan and such. So at the end of the day, it's doing good and loving your neighbor, which is Christianity. And even Apostle Paul, I believe, says, when you're a slave to God, that's what you do. Or when you're to fulfill the law, loving each other, loving one another, loving your neighbor, you fulfill it all. You know, but Christianity has become more than it should be, but that's okay, and that's the nature of man. Sometimes it has even become harmful to people, things like that, and that's because they perverse everything they touch, even something as pure and something as holy as the Word of God. So oftentimes we use it to manipulate and take advantage of people, but what's the true essence of Christianity? Is salvation. And salvation is purest form, and it's freedom from everything. That's what Jesus came to do. First of all, came to free us from damnation. He bore our sins on the cross. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what the understanding we have of it, and that's the first and foremost freedom that he's given us. And now we must, so therefore Christ came to deliver us, came to free us, so we must make a practice of that freedom. And that's what Christianity is, just freeing you up, freeing you. Because when you tarry in Christianity or tarry in the ways of God, the pursuit of God, in learning him and loving him and communing with him, being in his presence, letting him change you. This brings upon that further freedom. It's a practice of ability, Some people, like for instance, in a real practical sense, sometimes we put too much mysticism when Christianity can actually be real practical too. Very real thing. We see it in the world. Everybody's talking about they're free to do whatever, this, that, and the other. But they don't understand that they're slaves to sin. And the word speaks about sinning against God and sinning against yourself. So some stuff you think, I'm not hurting nobody. Yeah, maybe you're not hurting nobody. Maybe you are a loving person and you're doing everything but that, and you're a good person and everybody loves you. So maybe you're not sinning against God, but you're sinning against yourself. You're doing something self-detrimental to yourself. And how can you? But you have the freedom and everything, but you can't stop that bad habit. You see that all the time. You see these rehab centers and things like that. People that can't stop gambling, and people that can't stop can't be faithful to their wives, but you're free though. That's the slavery to sin, if you want to call it sin, or call it the human condition, or ignorance, whatever you call it. That's why poverty and violence goes hand in hand anywhere you go, because people are slaves. Poverty is gonna force something out of them. They can't help it. It's human nature. That's what they're slaves to. We need rectifying. We need to be set back in order. We need to be freed from sin, freed from ignorance, freed from the human condition. Look at it like that. If you don't want to hear that word sin, because it makes perfect sense. Like you, there's men, they say, I love my family and I don't want to do nothing to jeopardize them, but you know they're stepping out on their wife. They don't. And this is Rabbi Zacharias' example he used to give. And then you know they're stepping out the wives, breaking up their home, and you know it's a bad thing. You know it's a thing that you don't like. You yourself is not bad because it hurts others. It's bad because you want your family together. You want it together, and you want a happy home. But you can't free yourself of that. So you're a slave to it. You're a slave. It's a slave with no chains. You're a slave to that. And that's what Jesus had died for, to free us, to give us freedom in every sense of it. And to make us whole, like the our motto, our creed, you know, in every aspect of life, socially, you know, financially, spiritually, of course, mentally. I forget all 5 points that Dad gave us, but that's what Christianity is for: set us free, set us free. I got several verses. I'm just gonna run through them. You don't really have to. I'll just run through them. Okay, you got. Let's see. For instance, speaking about that freedom, you have 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. I have the right to do anything. I think this is Apostle talking, right? I have the right to do anything. You say. But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Sometimes you have to pull back. You know, I like to watch TV. I like to play video games. I see it's taking over me. I gotta pull back. You know, I will not be mastered by anything. You know, you could do better things with your time than you know watch TV, watch whatever you're watching or whatever your indulgences is. You know, but once you're a slave to it, once you can't go without it, once you skipping out on things that are supposed to take priority, you know, you need to pull back and be like, hey, this thing is starting to master me. You know, let me pull away from it. And then there's practices that you must have. For instance, if you're competing in to be a athlete, you have to practice. So you went from doing nothing to doing something because you want to be ready for a certain task. You know what I mean? And that's what the word says, you know, to study and show yourself approved. That's why it pays to know the words, just in case, you know, you're out there proselytizing or witnessing to people or spreading gospel. Got to know it too. So now you didn't have to go ahead and read your word, but now because you want to make a practice of you want to be a witness, now you get in the practice of studying your word to know it, and then spending time with God to make your ear tender to his voice so he can use you. So you know you have all the freedom, things like that, but there's practices that you have to better yourself in at whatever task you're doing. Even like in school, study, like you have to study to understand your subject to get ready for the test. That's the nature of school. They give you tests, you know, to kind of give you a motivation to study. Like, because you can give a book and like, hey, this is knowledge. Like, oh, I got this knowledge. But sometimes that knowledge will never meet you in life. But the test they give you is giving you a reason to put that knowledge inside you. And you know, if man was, I guess, a better creature than he actually was, we could say, hey, here's this book. Put this knowledge in you. But okay, man, I really want to learn this subject. You know, but we don't work like that. We need fire under our feet. We need a goad. We need things to push us. And so they set up a system to take account of human frailty, the human failings, the human condition, our sin nature, carnality, however you want to call it, same thing, and to spur us on to make ourselves better. And then, just to, I guess, beat in the point, we have also Galatians 5:1. It is the freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's when the practices come, you know, in the walking away from certain things. Maybe I could do something you can't do because I'm not a slave to it, or I'm not prone to it, to doing this thing, such as like drinking. You see people that have been dry for so many years, and they don't want you drinking around them, and even though to you it's like it don't mean nothing, you know, you've never been an alcoholic, but to them it's something important, so they have to, you know, refrain from drinking, so they won't go back into that slavery. You know, so Galatians 5:1 again. It is the freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And this is the ultimate freedom that he's given us. Ephesians 3:12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We have access to God. You know, God is a holy thing, as we understand it. And, you know, he can't be approached any kind of way. You know, he can't accept us any kind of way. So Jesus had to die for our sins and be a pure sacrifice so that we can approach God. See, that's the ultimate form of freedom he's given us. He gave us access to God. You know, at any point, anywhere you at, you have access to God. And then he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. That's that superpower, that game genie, you know, that cheat code. He gave us the Holy Spirit to walk through this life. You know, if you cultivate the Holy Spirit in you, if you tend to it, you're going to be in prime condition always. You know? And then Acts 13:38-39. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. Though through him, everyone who believes is set free from sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. You know, we couldn't keep the law, so mute points. And Jesus did what we couldn't do for us. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. See, and this one's unique because he's suggesting something. He's saying, live as a slave to God. But, you know, you're a slave with no chains. It's kind of like a job. You want to work it, you work it. And if you don't want to work it, you quit it. If that and the other. But his sacrifice is never null and void. He still died on the cross for you, and it's always there to take. But what is being a slave to God? It's more verbiage that people don't understand or kind of make more spiritual than it has to be. What is God? God is love. You know, God is goodness. God is righteousness. Be a slave to that. If you don't want me to say God, be a slave to righteousness. Be a slave to goodness. You know, be a slave to love. You know, nobody will argue with that. I mean, there's people that out here that even practice that. Just have all enmity with God. Okay, and Romans 8:20-21. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, the enemy, in hope then that the creation itself would be liberated from from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Okay. But all these verses pretty much kind of explain what freedom is. And how it's used and what it truly is. No child is born with chains. You know, the freedom we have. This people, you know, sometimes we subject each other to bondage, things like that. But the freedom offered or the slavery offered. It's all mental. It's all spiritual. You know, it's changed on our souls, changed on our minds and our heart, things like that. And in made whole ministry, we should free you of all that. Even if it's something as simple as not being able to save your money, not being able to get your money right. We have made whole. We want to rectify that too. We want to give you freedom, have you made whole in that aspect too. If it's your health, you can't get your health right. And even if it's something outside your will, we believe God to be miraculous in Him to be able to heal you of any disease, be it cancer, be it whatever. You know, that's what we believe. That's what we believe. And that's what anybody that knows Pop, it's what he practices too. Yeah. Okay, but. Then you have to your awareness. You know, the word speaks about being gentle as a dove and prudent as a serpent, or prudence or wise as a serpent. Yeah, to be a good person, be a loving good person, and do business with purity and things like that. But at the same time, don't be a fool. Don't be a duck. You know, call a spade a spade. Don't take a L on the sake of righteousness. You say, oh, you know, I'm Christian guy this. I'm going to let them take advantage. No. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. You understand? This is a fallen earth that we live in. And people aren't right. And they're gonna do bad by you, things like that. You don't have to return evil for evil. But at the same time, if you know what type of person that is, you don't deal with them. You know, be wise about that. And not only in your dealings with people, do you be wise. In dealings with yourself, you be wise too. You be like, okay, this throws me off my game. When I do this, my head ain't right. You know, just kind of just throws me off. It's like you have your indulgences, whatever they may be. You know, whatever things you do for leisure, for fun, they make the spirit weak. This is Eastern philosophy. Even the word says something similar, and even Hellenic or Greek philosophy speaks of it too. Indulgence is making the spirit weak. You know, it's when you have too much leisure, you relax. You know, you're off your guard. It's about posture. There's times to relax, but you know, it's about your posture. When you're in war, soldiers, when they're in the trenches, they don't sleep the same. They ain't like, oh. Any little noise could wake them up, because they're not completely relaxed. Even in their rest, they're vigilant. It's about posture. So you know if there's times like, hey, oh man, I'm feeling beaten down or I'm discouraged. You know, you change your posture. Change your posture. Some leisure, leave them alone for right now, because my spirit is weak. You know, I'm gonna chill from the video games, chill from the TV for a little bit until I get my mind right. You know what I mean? I'm not going to kick it with my friends until I get my mind right. Because, you know, this my leisure my indulgences. I'm a chill from food. I'm chill from going out to eat, because I know these make my spirit weak. And this is all about self-mastery and just knowing yourself to where you'll never fall back into that bondage again. It's little subtle things. And the thing is, you can live life disregarding them and whatever. You'll be okay. You're still going to heaven, like Pops always say. You're still going to heaven. But that always speaks about how he wants us to live in the fullness, you know, of what God has to offer us in this life. The fullness of God, you know. You could be a regular person. You don't have to be a super athlete. You don't have to be in peak physical condition, you know, and be able to have such a high vertical, you know, broad jump and be able to press so much weight. You don't have to do that. The average person doesn't do that. But it is there for you if you want it. If you want it. One thing about us, about Christians, especially in Made Whole, we're not about that average stuff. We're trying to get people whole. You know, we're trying to get you to live in the fullness of what God has for you, and to not be burdened down, to not live defeated. You know, to have all all the prosperity possible for you, and even then, you know. Even then, when it comes to prosperity and such, I gotta be 100% honest with you. The more you walk closer to God, the more hell you're gonna take. The more, honestly, this is logic. Look at the disciples. Every last one of them murdered. You know, except for John, banished to an island for the rest of his life. They telling you, you know, walk close to God so everything could be sweeter. Nope, that's a lie. There's a casual life that you have, you know, that's offered for Christians. Because not every citizen is a soldier. You know what I mean? But then there's people. They have their conscience or their spirit matures to a point that they take on a battle they don't have to. And God wants you to take on that battle, you know, because the labor is the harvest is plenty, but labor is few, you know. But He's not gonna hold a gun to your head. He's not gonna curse you to hell if you don't do that task. But when you mess with God, when you freak with Him a lot, when the Spirit's full in you, you get these burdens. That's why God started a church. I mean, that's why Pop started a church. He should be retiring right now. You know, you've been working all these years. You work 10-hour shifts, and you come home and on your weekends, but instead of enjoying your weekend, you want to start a church. You want to start involving yourself with people. It don't make sense, right? It's like burdensome, but it don't feel like that to Him, to men of God. You know, it's a natural happening. That's what happens when you frequent God a lot. You think Mother Teresa just one day decided to help, you know, hundreds of thousands of dying people? When you mess with God too much, tarry in His presence, that's what happens. That's what happens. You know what I mean? For your own sake, I suggest you pull back from God. Too much of Him will drive you crazy. You'll be out here trying to save the world. You know, you really will. Mother Teresa, she had a miserable life. Let's just say she's seen so much death and things like that, but she wouldn't stop doing what she's doing. You know, I don't want to sell God as something comfortable, something lovely, and this, that, and the other. But once you spend time with Him, and you grow in him, and he's changing your heart, he's making you into what you're supposed to be. Yeah, it's kind of, you have a battle within yourself, because part of you is conditioned to live somewhere, like live a certain way and live casually and live like, you know, what am I, I guess, coming outside of the structure given to me to go do something perilous, something hard, you know, go be a missionary? Why am I spending my retirement years doing the will of God? You know, I've worked hard enough, worked all my life. You know, it don't make sense. It don't make sense. But it's, C.S. Lewis said it the best. He said, the more you listen to the your conscience, the more it asks of you. You know, those use a negative counterpart. It's like the more you do wrong, the easier it gets. Same way, the more you listen to your conscience, the more it asks of you. That's the nature of God. It's like, oh, you want to grow close to me? Okay. You know, you think you could tarry with God, come back unscathed, unchanged, you know, not be burdened with what he's burdened with? That's what it is to be a Christian. Now, that ain't for everybody. Not everybody's a soldier. I wouldn't pray that on my worst enemy. But hey, sometimes that love in your heart just invigorates you. I'm not gonna tell y'all this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do. You know, Jesus gave us the Great Commission. But I'm sure if you live your life right, you know, you're still going to heaven. It's his heart that the world be saved, that we go out and pull people out of their ignorance. It's his heart. You know, you don't have to do it, but it's his heart. And tarry in him long enough, it's going to be your heart too. Yeah, you get ruined. Just like our bad habits and our sins ruins our life, God ruins our life too. You know, it just doesn't look like ruin. You know, you'll have a funeral where thousands honor you. You'll be put written about in books, you know, put as a saint on a chain. So in the end, it doesn't seem like something bad, but it is. You know, you never feel that burden, and you can never stop. You only have a burden of love, you know. And it's like, I remember sometimes, like the other day, I seen a lady stuck in, like, her child on the bridge. And I'm like, oh, man, if I turn around, I'm going to have to go all the way across the bridge. And, you know, what if somebody come and help her by then? And then, lo and behold, I turned around. And I was only 3 minutes from my destination. I turned around on the bridge for 20 more minutes because it was high traffic area. You know, I'm like, ugh! I was so mad that I had to do it. But I didn't have to do it. Nobody's holding a gun to my head, but that God nature in me, you know, he forced me to do it. He forced me to do it. Messing around with, playing around with God got my heart, my conscience like that. And now I spent 20 minutes on the bridge, and when I got there, of course, somebody had already helped. And I spent 20 minutes on the bridge for no reason. You know, that's what God does to you. That's what God does to you. But you can't be all right. You know, he makes you a good person. He changes your heart. When you mess with him too much, you start to be like him. Okay. And C.S. Lewis had said that too. He said, prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes me. You know, we pray and we ask God for things, and, you know, we do these things. But at the same time, we don't understand that when we're in prayer, we're in his presence too. You know, and as much as you asking of him, he's asking of you. Sometimes it's not verbalized, but he's imparting things into your spirit. You know, he's making you like him. Yeah, I'm kind of telling on God. I'm kind of selling him out. Okay. Like you, Like I was saying before, you know, people in the armed services, they're highly functional people. Like, you ever seen somebody that's been in Army, Marines, Navies, whatever? You could tell by their stride, by their work ethic, by anything they do, that they're ex-military, because they just have a way about them. They've learned how to function highly, so they're high functioning people. And the way they do that is by putting pressure on them. They're put in scenarios artificially that they wouldn't have been in through life, and it pushes the better person out of them, the harder worker out of them. You know, it pushes them to grow. And in the same way, we want to do that in church. But we preach you the word, and we give you scenarios to say, you have to love God, you know, and be willing to lose your life. To love, to the greatest form of love is that a man will lay his life down for another. Now, we say exaggerated things like that, but how often does that happen? You know, but that's your end goal. When you meditate on that, when you think about that, when you weigh your spirit in such a sense, you know, it's kind of putting yourself in that situation and saying, hey, okay, I need to better my heart. I need to better my heart. And it's a way of kind of testing your heart. You think about the scenario, be like, huh, you know what? I'm not as scared of that scenario as I was back in the day. And then, like, you come back years later after being a Christian for so long, be like, you know what? I'm not as scared of that scenario as I was back in the days. And you're seeing your maturity in Christ. And then it comes to a time to where you're not afraid of that scenario at all. You'll gladly lay your life down for your neighbor. And that's the essence. That's the essence of church. The body, or church, has kind of morphed and changed from what it originally was. Because back in the days, or the early church, they'd meet in a home like we're doing now, and then they'd go around and say, they'd read I guess scripture and sing hymns, and then they'd ask, what is the need of everybody here? And then they would fulfill the need of the person. That was church essentially. But now we've kind of got really big. You know, you're having huge, churches, mega churches, and things like that. And it's okay. Maybe it's more efficient. You know, at the same time, can you really affect every life? Can you really be fulfill every need in that church? You know, when it's so spread out and things like that. I know some mega churches, they have what they call cell groups and stuff like that. They break the church up into smaller groups, so I guess people can keep each other accountable, this, that, and the other, or whatever. But back in the days, the church used to be smaller, so I guess it can be easily managed, and we could fulfill each other's needs easier. But you know, it's okay. And in church, we want to grow people. We want to make people better. We don't want you to. Church is not a thing to kind of absolve your sins. Your sins are already absolved. You come here to grow. And this is not my teaching. Dad would have told you the same thing. No, he's not going to use flowery words. He's not going to twist your arms to stay in church. He'll go out and meet you on the streets and help you. You know what I mean? But at the same time, if you want to grow, there's a place for you. If you want to be better, there's a place for you here in Made Whole. Okay. Yeah, and like I was saying before, about, you know, walking with God. You know, there's an enemy out there. You want to call him, I don't know if it's the devil, if it's Satan, you know, these names. You know, I don't know who, if it's others in more inferior spirits, you know. But there's an enemy out there. You know, there's something working against it. And when you want to do right, calamity hits. You know, let me tell you ahead of time. Expect it. Okay, then you won't be surprised. You know, he's coming for you. Wait, you think you're just going to do right and expect nobody to challenge you on it? You know, especially somebody that hates everything about that. You know, there's an enemy. There's an enemy out there. Be mindful of him. Like when you see that you and your wife, for instance, because I think marriage is kind of probably the holiest bond or the most important bond. It's the most similar thing to God's love for us, or Christ's love for us. You'll see, like, for instance, you and your wife can't get along, you know, or she's tripping, this, that, and the other. That's the time you want to hold her closer. Or maybe it's just that's the time you want to give her space. Use wisdom, you know what I mean? And just know, okay, things ain't normal. You know, there's something going on here. I'm not going to fall for that trap. You know what I mean? Just hold on. And don't be susceptible to it, too, because the enemy's not a dummy. You know what I mean? It takes elevated conscience to be aware of him. He's not going to use a random stranger, snatch your person, and be like, oh, I done killed her faith now. She done got stolen from the street. Yeah, it's going to be that loved one that's going to break your heart. And, woo, man, when they break your heart, it breaks, you know. He's not going to take, you know, little light punches. He go for body blows. He go for knockout haymakers. Yeah. And it hurts, but be aware of that. Be aware of that. You have to be above that. It's a high calling. It really is. To you know, just look at injustice and just let it slide. Everything about injustice repulses us and hurts us. You know, it rouses us. When you see the stories of, you know, unarmed people being shot, you know, women being raped and no justice being served and things like that, it burns and it's supposed to. It's supposed to, you know. But are you gonna look at that situation, or are you gonna be above it and try to preserve the things that God has given you to preserve? You know what I mean? But that's the nature of Christianity. If I could tell you one thing, because we talked about a lot and we covered a lot. If I could tell you one thing, it just stay closer to God. Stay, pray and read your Bible. Pray and read your Bible. They say it, pray and read your Bible, you know, every day and you'll grow. Like the song says, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. It's true. It's true. Don't anticipate growth in a sense like you're counting on it. And be like, man, I don't feel like I've grown. I don't feel like I've grown. It's subtle, and you're going to see it in hindsight. Be like, man, wow, you know, I just handled that situation a certain way. The old me wouldn't have done that. Man, what is? You know, it's really subtle. It's really subtle. But stay in God. Pray. Whatever it looks like, Jesus gave you the Lord's Prayer. You know, you can use that as a format, but you know, God is not so evil that he's not going to ignore you if you don't come the proper ways. He's not on his knees. I don't like how he came at me. He didn't address me as our Father. You know, he's not so petty that he's going to ignore you in that way. But he gave you an ideal mindset to have with the Lord's Prayer whenever you are praying to him. Some people, you know, some people just know how to pray out of practice. You know, so Don't ever feel inferior or like, man, I don't know. I don't sound just as good. God sees the intent. You know? That's why Pop's always be telling us to speak in tongues, because we don't even know optimally how to pray. We don't know exactly what to ask of God, what we need to pray about. But anyways, just guys, anybody that knows mom and dad, know that they're here for you. So I don't even need to sing their praises. I'm not gonna even gas them up, because if you know them, you know that they got your back. So if you ever need anything, just give them a call. Made Whole Ministries, we're here for you. I even got your back. I'll probably help you fight somebody in the street. That's about all I can offer right now. But but we have your back in Made Whole Ministry. And we wish the best for you. We love y'all, and we want you guys to be made whole. We want all humanity to be made whole, reconciled with Jesus, living a happy and prosperous life, a free life. Yeah. But I'm going to go ahead and pray for us so we can close out.